We're going to start this morning in Galatians 5, if you want to start turning there. I want to talk to you this morning about opinions. Opinions. Everybody's got them. And I certainly have them. And I don't know about everybody else, but I think I'm right. Right? I may not be right, but I always think I am. Right? So, everybody's got opinions. And we've got a lot of things in this world that we can have opinions about. I know the past few years have been particularly divisive in the United States. Some of the things that have occurred that have caused opinions and divisiveness have been elections, race relations, social justice, immigration. Then there's that little thing called the pandemic, which brings with it vaccines and masks. And these issues have divided Americans, but we, as Faith Baptist Church, must not allow them to divide our church. Jesus says that we need to be united as believers, and divisiveness in the church is a work of the flesh. And I want to begin this message this morning by just reiterating my love for you, okay? Reiterating my love for you. If there's something that bothers you about this message, I pray it's about the message and not the messenger, okay? I learned in seminary, they said, if the message offends, let it offend. But if the messenger offends, then I'm sorry, okay? And so this morning, we're going to talk about things that people have differing opinions on. And whenever we do that, there's always the chance that somebody's ego can get stirred or upset. And so we want to be careful this morning, but we need to talk about divisions over issues in the church. And let me say this, as far as myself and Pastor Tad know, you guys have handled yourselves very well during these issues that we've been through. But I felt like every church in the United States is facing these things. And it's just good to reiterate some things to you this morning. Now, the book of Galatians. We, as Christians, have two ditches that we can fall in. We're told to follow the Spirit. And there's two ditches we can fall in. And when we get away from following the Spirit, one is to fall over into freedom or liberty, where we just say, hey, I can do anything I want, and it's no big deal. And if it's sin, God will reveal it to me, whatever. And so that's a ditch that we can fall into. The other side of the road, instead of following the Spirit, we can begin to get into legalism, where we say, well, you need to do this and this and this. And while the Lord gives us individual convictions that we have to have for our own holiness, when we begin to apply them to everybody else, then we get into the legalism ditch. Instead of following the Spirit, we're following a list of do's and don'ts. And in Galatia, there are people who are wanting the Gentile Galatian believers to be circumcised and come under the law as Jews. And as Christians, we're not under the law. We're to follow the Spirit. It's the mark of the new covenant. So, I want you to see this morning, divisiveness is a work of the flesh. In Galatians 5, starting in verse 19, Paul lists out the works of the flesh. Can you give me a water? Or just give me that one right there. Oh, it's empty. Okay. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. They're obvious, is what Paul says here. And then he's going to list some sexual sins. If you have a King James, it's going to start with adultery. But then it goes on to say sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. And then he lists some religious sins, such as idolatry and sorcery. And then he lists some social or interpersonal sins. And these are the ones we're going to focus in on this morning, because when we have opinions on things, we tend to get divisive in interpersonal relationships. And so he says enmity. That's a state of being an enemy. Hostility. because your opinion, as we're looking at this morning, your opinion differs from mine, so therefore you must be my enemy, enmity. Then there is strife. That's in engaging in rivalry, especially with reference to positions taken in a matter. So if we think of rivalries, you know, we tend to think of that in like college football or different sports and rivalries and things like that, which is fine in those things, but it's not fine in the church. So taking different positions on different matters, and Christians are who walk in the flesh are terrible about these things. They take different positions and divide over things like Bible versions, style of music, dress styles, hairstyles, politics, masks, vaccinations, the list goes on, right? And so we have strife. Then we have jealousy, intense negative feelings over another's achievements or success. So when we begin to see others as enemies or we begin to be jealous of them, these type of things happen. Jealousy. Fits of anger. Don't need to go too far into that, but when somebody disagrees with us on our opinion, or maybe they say something that contradicts our opinions, we can get angry, throw a fit of anger. That's a work of the flesh. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Then there's rivalries. It's contentiousness, selfish ambition. Many of these are synonyms for one another. Rivalries, dissensions. It's a state of being in factious opposition. Start feuding. It's like the only thing you can talk about with somebody is how you disagree with them. Feuding. And then divisions. Divisions. It's a faction. That's when people start gathering people to their side. Hey, don't you know? Don't you agree with me? Yeah, you start to get a clique around an opinion. Divisions. And then there's envy or jealousy. And Paul says, these are the works of the flesh, and things like these in verse 21. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's a pretty stern warning, right? So those that continue in these things, they're not really believers. They're not right on the gospel. Now, there are times when we can have fits of anger and strife and that type of thing. But when we realize that, then we repent and we apologize and do what we need to make things right. And that's evidence that we're a Christian. But if we're just living in this state of divisions and rivalries and anger, then we don't really understand the gospel, because it's those things that brought God's wrath upon sin, which Jesus took upon himself. And so we don't continue in those things. But Paul says the person that's continuing in those things is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And opposed to the works of the flesh is the fruit of the Spirit. Look at verse 22 of chapter 5, Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those passions and desires are what lead to those rivalries and divisions. Okay? So we don't want to be doing the works of the flesh. We want to follow the Spirit. But we've got opinions, and they matter to us. So how do we walk in unity when my opinion isn't the same as Clifton's, or it's not the same as Pastor Tad's or Barry's? What if we differ on things? How do we walk together as a church? Because unity that Jesus calls for is not uniformity. We don't have to all have the same opinions on certain things. And we don't have to all act the same way and like the same things and those type of things. So unity is not uniformity. So let's look at what issues that you need to be on fire about and you need to care about to the point of death. And then what issues you need to not care so much about. that may be important in certain contexts, but not in the church. So first of all, we have here core issues. Core issues, that center piece there. Core issues are the gospel. In Mark 8:35, Jesus says this, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." So the core of our life, the core teachings we need to care about are related to the gospel. And on these we must agree. These are the teachings that matter. And if we go back to the target there on the core, it says those doctrines that represent the historic and evangelical Christianity. In other words, somebody has to believe these things in order to be a Christian, right? You need to understand what is the gospel, the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's what's related to here. Now, when somebody violates that, when they're off on the gospel, then we have Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. This is how Paul begins the book of Galatians. So if we look at Galatians 1, 6, it says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to," what's that word? "Distort the gospel of Christ." So how do we deal with those people? He says in verse 8, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed." Let him be under the curse of God. And then he repeats it. He says, "As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." Put that person out of the church. The core beliefs that you need to be willing to die for are who Jesus is and the work that he did on the cross, his person and his work. And there's a lot of doctrines piled up into that, and we won't be able to get into all those today. But, you know, we have the Trinity, and then we have the Reformation statements, and then we have the fundamentals of the faith and those type of things that are bound up. They are things that Christians believe because they are related to the gospel. So we need, as Christians, to be about the gospel. Our lives need to be about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's why when Jesus taught us to pray, he told us that our prayers should begin like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, we need to live our lives according to God's plan for God's kingdom. Above all other kingdoms, including the United States of America. And I love the United States of America. I'm a patriot. But brethren, God's kingdom is a greater kingdom. And it's a more important kingdom than any other kingdom on this earth. We are citizens of a kingdom, of a heavenly kingdom, that is greater than the kingdom of the United States. And so, that's the core. Next, we have convictions. These are what I call characteristic issues. These are issues that are related to who is and who is not a member of our church. These are important issues, but they're not gospel issues. Okay? It's those doctrines that characterize Faith Baptist Church. In other words, there are true churches, other true churches out there filled with true Christians who might believe differently than we do on these beliefs. Okay? And most of the time they're related to how do we recognize believers. For instance, we're Baptists. Baptists believe that you should be baptized by submersion after you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay? So that eliminates baptizing infants. Now, we have Presbyterian brethren, and I call them brethren because they believe the core issues of the gospel. But they believe that baptism is also for infants. And so then you have the issue of, well, is that infant then, as it grows up, is it a member of the church or not? And if it's, it, you know, how do you deal with unregenerate members and different things? And they've got their ways of dealing with that. But Baptists just say, we don't do infants, right? We don't baptize infants. So how do we recognize believers? Well, we recognize them through baptism. And then how do we identify someone as a member of Faith Baptist Church? Well, we need to make sure that they understand the gospel before we let them be a member of Faith Baptist Church. And then related to that then is, how is our church governed? How do we run our church? These are important issues, but they're not gospel core issues. We can't say, oh, if you baptize a baby, you're not even a Christian. You get that? We can't say that. But we can say, well, if you baptize babies, you're not a Baptist, not a member of Faith Baptist Church. Okay? So that's the difference between the core and the characteristic issues or the convictional issues that we have that are important but not necessarily gospel related. These issues are important in the practical life of the church. We are an elder-led, deacon-served, and congregationally governed church. Other churches do things differently. We can acknowledge that they are Christians, but we wouldn't let them join our church, nor would they let us join theirs if our convictions were different on these important issues. So those are the convictional beliefs. And so that's how we end up with Faith Baptist Church. And then there's other denominational churches that have different beliefs on these convictional issues. But then the outside ring there is the charity beliefs. These are things that we can disagree on and still be members of the same church. These beliefs that Christians can agree to disagree on. In other words, we'll seek to be charitable with one another in these particular beliefs. Now, some of these beliefs that we can disagree on and still be members of the same church are the timing of the Lord's second coming. We believe Jesus is returning, but some people believe there's going to be a pre-tribulational rapture. Some people believe there's going to be a mid-tribulational rapture. Some believe there's going to be a post-tribulational rapture. And then some believe that Christ is not going to return until he's ready to set up his kingdom here on earth. And those are future things. And I've got pretty strong opinions on different views that we have there. But because they're in the future, I could be wrong. Right? So I need to be generous in those things. And so that would be one area that we could disagree on. Other things would be whether a Christian should consume alcohol or not. Rather, somebody sets aside the Sabbath and they don't do any work. They won't mow their lawn and that type of thing. But somebody else says, hey, that's the only day I can do it. I'm going to mow my lawn on Sunday. Right? We can disagree on those things and still call one another's brothers and be together here at Faith Baptist Church. And it's these charity beliefs that Romans 14 teaches us how to agree or disagree. So let's go over there to Romans 14. Very important passage on how do we disagree or agree to disagree on these issues that are important. Paul writes to the Roman church. He says, as for the one who is weak in faith. Now, nobody likes to be the weaker brother. Nobody likes to be the weaker brother. But the fact of the matter is, some of us are. It says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. Welcome him as a brother in Christ. But not to quarrel over opinions. He gives us an exception here. He says, if somebody's coming in and they're wanting to try to convince the whole church that they're right on a certain issue, and they're going to cause divisions, then don't accept them into membership. Don't welcome them into your membership, because they're just going to cause problems. Okay, so he starts off with an exception. A person who wants to convince everyone that his way is the only way. And let me give you an example of a position where I could be considered weak in the faith. Okay, my family, we didn't do Santa Claus. That's my conviction. That just wasn't good for my kids to think that there was. They need to understand that there's the only one who knows whether they're bad or good at all times is God. If you do Santa Claus, you're fine. It's okay. It's not a condition of membership here at Faith Baptist Church. All right? And you can talk to me about it. When your kids ask me, I'll push them back to you, okay? I'm not going to lie to them, but I will try to push them back to you. All right, so he gets into an example in their day, number 2, verse 2. One person believes he may eat anything. You know, count me in that crowd. And then he says, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Now, we had Jewish dietary laws and different things, and there were other issues. If you go to 1 Corinthians, where meats were offered to idols and different things like that. So we have some people that only eat vegetables. Verse 3, key verse. He's going to refer back to this verse later on. He says, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. In other words, the one who can eat anything, he's not to look down upon this other believer who will not eat meat. And you say, well, that sounds kind of foreign to us. Well, let's bring it into a more modern situation. Let's say that you have someone who is from India, and in India they don't eat cattle, right? They don't eat those types of meats. And that's how they were raised, and it's just part of their culture. Well, we have Indian Christians, and they may continue to not eat beef. That's okay. I'm not to look down upon them. I'm not to despise them and say, oh, they think they're better than me, right? I'm not to despise them. And then it says, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. Now here, it's the weaker brother who is passing judgment. What's that mean? It means, well, hey, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't eat that meat. See, he's starting to make a judgment call as to, hey, are you even a Christian because you participate in this? And you say, that's awful harsh. Can I just throw this in here? This applies to people who vote differently than you. Somebody that voted for a different presidential candidate than you. How can they be a Christian and vote this way? Let not the one who votes one way pass judgment on the one who votes differently. Why? For God has welcomed him. He has believed the gospel. Don't you dare pass judgment on your brother or sister in Christ. They're God's child. You are too if you've believed the gospel. Verse 4, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It's before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day better than another. Now we get into Sabbath laws and holy days. And would we say that the Jewish folks who observed the holy days had a pretty good scriptural basis for observing those days? But at the same time, Paul tells us we're not under the law. Okay? Some people are going to keep holy days, some people aren't. Verse 5, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. You need to have a conviction on these things. The one who observes the day observes it in honor to the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor to the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Are you starting to see something there? Honoring God in your beliefs and your convictions. We're to glorify God in everything we do. Verse 7, for none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? See, he's going back to the despising and the passing judgment. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And you there will have to stand and answer to God for your opinion. But you won't have to stand and answer for the opinion of your brother. You realize on the judgment day, we're not going to say, but, well, God, I understand maybe I was a little harsh there, but Barry, right? We can't point the finger to somebody else. It's us. It's just us. It's just me, God. I got enough to answer for on judgment day. Skip down to verse 17. He says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, or voting, or masks, or vaccines, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Boy, those are those fruits of the Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Let me just repeat that verse with a few different things. Do not, for the sake of masks, destroy the work of God. Do not, for the sake of a presidential election, destroy the work of God. Do not, for the sake of vaccinations, destroy the work of God. You see, what you believe about Christ and His gospel is everything. And everything else is secondary. And so what you have to do is have your opinion and love and show honor to one another regardless of your opinion or their opinion. Whether you agree or disagree, love is the primary thing. So where do we get into trouble? Well, it's when we try to push these charity beliefs into the inner circle or convictions or core beliefs. That's when we get into trouble. When we say, well, in order to be at Faith Baptist Church, you need to do this. Or to be a Christian, you need to do this. Right? We start pushing those charity beliefs in. You see, Paul, who just instructed us about food, right? It's okay for somebody if they don't want to eat a certain way, and it's okay if another person wants to eat a different way. He just instructed us about that in Romans. Look back to Galatians chapter 2, because we have an issue that Paul is going to confront the Apostle Peter over, and it's related to food. Well, why would he do that? He just said, we're accepted. Galatians 2, verse 11. But when Cephas, that's Peter's nickname, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. Peter probably liked ham. Now, this doesn't say that he ate the things that the Gentiles were eating, but he was certainly gathered with them at the table and eating with them, right? But it says, but when they came, those certain people from James, they believed that you needed to be circumcised, some of them. It says, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And that's the fear of man. The fear of man is a snare, right? And we're all susceptible to it. Even here, Peter, susceptible to fearing what others think. And so instead of the next meal, instead of hanging out with the Gentiles, he's just hanging out over here with the Jews. And they don't have any ham at their table. He says, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So why is Paul confronting Peter here about a charity belief? Well, it's because Peter's actions are pushing Jewish eating laws towards the core of the gospel. Peter's actions were saying, hey, well, you know, you Gentiles really should start acting like Jews who are under the law. We see that in verse 14. Paul says, but when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of what? The gospel. It's been made a core issue. I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, hey, remember that ham? How can you, what's that word? Force. How can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? See, Peter's actions are starting to push those charity beliefs down there into the core issues of the gospel. In other words, if you believe the gospel, you're going to do this. You're going to act this way. You're going to behave this way. You're going to do this and not do that. And these are on extra-biblical things. And so this is more than just Peter hanging out with his buddies. The message that he was conveying is it's important to the gospel that you Gentiles act like Jews. And Paul says, no, no. And he confronts him to his faith. So let's go back to some of the controversial things that we've been through as a nation. Who you voted for in the last election is unrelated to the gospel. Whether you think there was fraudulence in the election, any of those issues like that, when you want to push those things into the core, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're behaving like Peter was when Paul confronted him. When we say things like this, well, everybody in my church votes this way. And so we act like we want a political party added to our church name. We want to be Faith Republican Baptist Church or Faith Democrat Baptist Church. That sounds stupid when we say it like that, right? Well, okay, so then what does that really say about what we're thinking? Somebody else said it. Thank you. But so oftentimes we're like Peter, right? We just kind of go along with the crowd. And so I'm going to remind you what I said before the elections and any election you have. You need to pray. You need to vote your conscience and then pray. And then the following Sunday, be ready to come and sit down and worship next to somebody who voted differently than you. Because when we gather here, it's about God's nation. We are God's people. Churches are like little embassies that represent God's rule to the nations, including the United States of America. And so the problems come when we push these charity beliefs inwardly towards the core. And we begin to act by the works of the flesh. And we're in danger of acting like a guy called Diotrephes. Look at 3 John, verses 9 and 10. 3 John, right before the book of Revelation. Just a little one-page epistle. John is the pastor, or a pastor, he's an elder of this church, and so he's writing to them. He's out of town, possibly imprisoned at this time, so he's writing back to his flock, and in 3 John verse 9 he says, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first. Now isn't that the opposite of Jesus? Think about the disciples. When they were with Jesus and they said, hey, Jesus, you can tell us, man, which one of us is the greatest, right? And what did Jesus say to them? He said, boys, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, then you be a servant. You be a servant. Now, let me ask you this. Do servants gain privileges or lose privileges? Lose, right? And then he goes on to say, look, if you want to be the greatest, because that's how we started this conversation, then you be a slave. Now, how many rights does a slave have? Zero, right? And Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, right? So Diotrephes here, he's the opposite of Jesus. We might even say that Diotrephes is acting like an antichrist. He likes to put himself first, and he does not acknowledge our authority. He just, I'm right. He's got opinions and he's right. Verse 10, so if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome who? The brothers. Oh, suddenly Diotrephes got opinions and he's not welcoming anybody who disagrees with him. And then he goes even further and he also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. He says, hey, if you don't agree with me, you don't really belong here. Diotrephes has opinions, and he's defining who's in and out of the church by them. Brethren, let's not be like Diotrephes. Your opinion is really not that important. And so don't push things towards the core. We can't all agree on everything. We just can't. Unity is not uniformity. And you say, Pastor, that's hard. I mean, it's really hard. I like my opinion. I like my opinions too. But in Ephesians 4, Paul writes this. He says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you've heard me say it many times here. Why does the Bible command us to bear with one another? Anybody remember what I say? Some of you are unbearable. That's hard love. When somebody is different than me, and they don't agree with me on everything. But we're to bear with one another. We have to love one another. Some people are easy to love, and some are harder to love. Who does Jesus want you to love? Everybody. Everybody. Politics make things tough. But you can hate policy all you want, but you cannot hate people. Keep that in mind when you have an opinion on immigration, on masks, on vaccinations, elections, social justice, whatever. You can hate policy all you want, but you can't hate people. Jesus gave us very simple instructions. They're just hard to follow. Beloved, we are to be about the gospel. It should be what defines us. We have great freedoms as citizens in this country, but Paul was willing to sacrifice his liberties to increase his ministry. We have to do the same. I've got opinions, and you've got them too, but I love you. So I must be willing to sacrifice my rights for the sake of the gospel. I have to sacrifice my opinions for the sake of the gospel. Jesus said, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And in another place he says this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By who you voted for, whether you wear a mask, or whether you don't, whether you got vaccinated or not. No, none of those things. If you have love one for another. Now, it's easy to love people who look like us, act like us, think like us, and agree with us. That's easy. But let me say to you, that's the world's love. That's the world's love. When we love people who disagree with us, doesn't that say something to the world? They say, Pastor, why would you love a Democrat? Or why would you love a Republican? Why would you love a person that's so afraid to wear a mask? Why would you love an illegal immigrant? Why would you love a person who takes ivermectin? Why would you love a person who won't get vaccinated? Why do I love them? Because Jesus loves them. They're my brothers. He told me I have to. And when people see you and me loving people who aren't like us, man, what a message that sends to the world. There's a disciple of Jesus. That's the message. We love people because Jesus loves them. I'm going to try my best to do that. You do the same. Let your life be about the gospel. There are things that divide us from church to church. Those characteristic beliefs, right? And then there are some churches that are off on the gospel. They've abandoned the gospel. We're not going to join those churches. We're not going to cooperate with those churches. But there are churches out there that have genuine convictions that differ from us, and they have true Christians in them. And they divide us. But those are important things. And then there's the gospel. Let's be about the gospel. And let's experience the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, versus division. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The works of the flesh, let's deny those. Paul says in this passage, we've crucified the flesh. He says in Romans that we should present our bodies as living sacrifices. What's the problem with the living sacrifice? It likes to climb off the altar. But living sacrifices, beloved, sometimes we have to climb back on the altar and crucify our opinions. so that we can love our brethren. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing a way to be at peace with you through Jesus Christ. Even though I was a sinner, a really bad, bad person. Thank you for Jesus taking my sin upon himself and dying the death that I deserved and then living the righteous life so that when I trust him as my Savior, my sins are forgiven and my righteousness comes from him. What a gospel. Lord, may I never forget it. May I never think I'm better than other Christians or more deserving than other Christians. Father, there's a lot of things in this world that are dividing people. May it not be so here at Faith Baptist Church. May we love one another urgently, deeply, with great care, even when people disagree with us on issues that really, truth be told, Lord, we get pretty fired up about. But Lord, they're not important when it comes to your kingdom. And so help us to sacrifice those things and love one another and honor one another. And Lord, may the world see that we are your disciples. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.